May we turn to the Book of Ruth. Book of Ruth, chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, and a family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and clean ears of the corn after him. After him in whom sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went, and came, and cleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, and it was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came to Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and has continued even from the morning until now, and that she tarried a little in the house. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young man hath drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of my seeing of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not, and heretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip the morsel into vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young man, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and approach her not, and let fall also some of the handful of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said to her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that he take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrote today is Boaz. This is a wonderful chapter full of instructions. You know, when we read the Bible, we can look at the historical side of it. This was a story which really happened at that time. Or we can look at the prophetic side, and that is also a very interesting aspect of this book. And it is always important to realize that Ruth is not a picture of the church, but of the Jewish remnant. While Boaz, of course, is a picture of the Lord Jesus. We will see that. But there is also much of a very practical application, and this is what I want to bring before us. You know, when we start the book, we find a family, and it's nice to see several family here. And we see that there was a famine in the land, and the father, who felt his responsibility for the family, he decided what to do. But we don't read anything that he prayed about it. He didn't ask the Lord, what do you want us to do? So be careful. Many times, you know, sometimes in our lives, we make a decision and we really haven't prayed about it. We think we can handle it. He probably knew in Moab there is enough food, so let's go to Moab. He wanted to save his family, but what happened in Moab? First he died, and then the two sons. Secondly, his children. He wanted to save them. He wanted to make sure that they don't die of starvation, and here they are. They both died in Moab. Then Naomi, she finally said, look, there is food. Bethlehem is a place of nourishment. It is that place where there is food for the people of God. And so the application for us is, even if there is a spiritual famine, most of the time people say, let's leave, let's go somewhere else. Without really asking the Lord, what do you want me? And I talked to some of you this morning. You said there were times where there were only really the two and the three left in this hall. You didn't go. You stayed. And the Lord blessed it. And the Lord hasn't changed. And so when we come to chapter 2, the first thing which is introduced is Boaz. And in verse 1, we find three things about him. Boaz, his name means, in him is strength. Boaz is a picture of our Lord Jesus. In him is strength. We are often weak. Weak physically, but also weak in a spiritual way sometimes. But there is one. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, forever. He's strong. He's also a wealthy man. He's very rich. But he who was rich and owned everything, as the creator of the universe, everything belongs to him. I could quote many scriptures which show that everything, even your house, your car, everything is mine, says the Lord. He has given it to you to use it for his glory and honor. But he owns everything, but he became poor. He left all that wealth, and he was the one who had nowhere where to lay his head. He was thirsty, he was hungry. He had no house. We read in John, I think at the end of chapter 7, everybody went unto his own house, and he went to the Mount of Olives. He had nowhere to go. He had nothing of his own. So he became poor and even laid down his life, which we remember this morning, in order that we might be rich. He, that wealthy man, that mighty man of wealth, and he was of the family of Elimelech. You see, the Lord Jesus had to become man in order that you and I will be saved. He had to become like us, take upon himself flesh and blood, except sin, of course, so that he could step in for us, lay down his life. And at the end, when he rose, he said, go unto my brethren. We are of his family now. And so we see, what we find in this chapter is that the Lord wants to bless. But there is no blessing without the one who gives the blessing. And this is sometimes a problem with us. We want the blessing. We want to have the good, but we want to go our own ways. We want to do it in our own ways. But there's no blessing if we leave him out. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, all the blessings are in the heavenly places for us in Christ Jesus, not a part of it, from him. So this is very important to see. Now here in verse 2, we find Ruth. She took the initiative. You know, she came from a foreign country with her mother-in-law. She didn't know anybody. She didn't know the people, but she saw in Naomi an example. I said, I want to be of your people. And even in chapter 1, several times, Naomi said, you know, go back, go home. Don't come with me. There's nothing which I can offer you anymore. He said, no, I want to go with you. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. What a desire. So that was a pathway of faith which Ruth did. Coming into this foreign country. And there here she said, look, we have to eat. We have to do something. Let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. So she happened to come onto the field of Boaz. It says it by chance. Are there any chances in our life? By chance, you know. It just happened. Just happened that she walked onto this field which belonged to Boaz. There was no sign, you know, this is Boaz's field. No, the Lord wants to lead us. Nothing happens by chance. Even when you have an accident, even when COVID came, all these things have a purpose in our life. Nothing happens just like that. And here we find that she just went there and her mother, Naomi, encouraged her. This is so wonderful. First of all, we see a young woman talking to an older sister, to an older woman. Do we also have no generation gap between young and old? It is a blessing if it doesn't happen. If we talk to one another, we can learn from one another. She didn't just say, look, I'm going. No, she said, let me go. And you agree that I should go? Because in chapter 1, many, many times you read, Naomi said, turn again in verse 11, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Verse 12, turn again, my daughters. Again and again you will see that. She says, no, go. This time she said, let me go into this field to glean. And she said, yes, go. And she didn't tell her where to go. Now this is also an interesting point. Let the Lord direct you. You see, there are some which have children in an older age. We should not tell them who they should marry. We should pray for them that they find the right one. But we should not tell them everything like Naomi didn't do it. He said, just go. The Lord will direct you. And this is the path of blessing. Do we have that faith in the Lord, in Boaz? In any way, she went there and she started. And this is very interesting. You can read that in Leviticus 19, for instance, that they shouldn't cut the whole field. They should leave something for the poor. And for the stranger, it even says. And she was well aware, I'm from Moab, I'm a stranger, you know. I have no rights here. But you could say, well, I read in the scripture, I have a right. But, you know, the man here, the head of the reapers, he said, you know, she came and she asked, may I glean here on your field? You see, today we live in a time where people, when they disagree with something, they go out on the street and they demonstrate and they make sure everybody hears them. But here is a very quiet woman. She asked kindly, can I? And of course you can. Now Boaz comes from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. I sometimes wonder, I never had a boss like this. What sort of boss have you got when you come to work? The boss would normally say, when he would come, you know, our earthly boss would come and says, listen, by You know, have you finished that project? You know, and how much have you settled from all the work which I gave you last week? Is it all done? They always want to have results, right? And here comes one, and he greets them with a blessing. And you see the response? It is wonderful to see that response. And they didn't take advantage because he's such a friendly boss that they were laying back. No, they were all working. And they said to him, "The Lord bless thee." And he's a real boss, you know. He came onto the field and immediately saw there is a stranger. You see, he knew what was going on. And immediately his eyes were on that person, Ruth, who was cleaning. Who is this? And so the one who gave an answer, it says here, his servant that was set over the reapers. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And I wonder if the Lord Jesus asked the Holy Spirit, "What about this brother? What about this sister? What is she like?" What testimony, what answer would he give to the Lord? Would he say, "Oh, it's really a lazy cloth? I try that he should, this person should read the Bible, but for the whole last week he hasn't read the Bible." You know, what would he say? But she came in the morning and she worked and worked and worked and what she said around was very, very little. You know, all these things have a practical application for us. So Boaz comes and he said to Ruth, "Hearest thou? I have got something to say." And he said four things. And the first thing is very interesting. He says, "Hear now, my daughter, go not to glean in another field." You see, we live in a time when there are so many groups of Christians and so many denominations. And I said recently, we had a marriage seminar. And they always say, you know, the main thing is when you marry, that the other person is also a believer. The most important thing is that the other one is saved as well. Because otherwise, it will be an unequal yoke. But I said, listen, this is not enough. It is truly not enough. You also have to agree on the common pathway you want to walk together. And therefore, he says here, now don't go to another field. Now, what will be the difference? You know, you have here the field of Boaz. And there is this wheat growing. And then on that side of the street, you have another field. And when you look at these two, they look exactly the same. Why would he say, do not go to another field? Why? What is the difference? This is Boaz's field. You know, we should never lose sight that we come together unto the name of the Lord Jesus. He is in the midst. We want him to have the saying. And not something we establish as man, how we do the worship and how we do gather together. You see? This is the difference. There is bread on both sides. There is cleaning you can on both sides. We're not saying that, in these churches or in this generation, they don't have the word of God. Of course they have the word of God. They preach the gospel, everything. But they don't give the Lord the place which they should. That is the teaching here. The next thing is, he says, "And you abide here fast by my maidens." See, this is also something which is not common today anymore. If you are a young girl, stay with the girls. If you are a young man, stay with the men. Have contact. Have your free time with them. Because there is a danger. And he said later on, "Did I not charge the young men that they shall not touch thee?" You see, if we play around, it can easily happen something which we later on regret. So that is another teaching. And then he says, at the end, "When you are athirst, go unto the vessel and drink." You see, he saw and he heard how much she worked. And we all should do that which the Lord assigns us to do. He gives each one of us work to do. But we can also overwork. And even the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "Come away and rest a while. Come away and rest a while. And here, when you're thirsty, go, sit down, drink, of that which is provided. We should not forget. The Lord wants to give us this time to recover again and to do. And what was her reaction, dearly beloved? She said, look, she never forgot, I'm a Moabitess. I come from Moab. And unto the, what is it, ninth generation, they were not allowed to be taken into the people of Israel. She said, no rights. I have no rights. This nice man Boaz is talking so much. All the blessing he's given me, I haven't deserved any. And therefore she said, in verse 10, she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said, why have I found grace in thy eyes? Verse 13, and she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. Thou hast comforted me, for I have spoken friendly unto me. You know, she was a foreigner. She was a stranger. And he was a great man. And he talked so nicely to her. So, you know, this is also when people come here. How do we welcome them? How do we talk to them? Do they feel that we appreciate their interest and so forth? Doesn't need much, but, you know, she felt it. And then we see that at noontime, in verse 14, at mealtime, the Boaz is giving her something. He's giving her three things. First of all, she gives him her bread. And we know the Lord Jesus is the bread of life. What is our nourishment, dearly beloved? What are we feeding on? You see, the world is offering us everything. And you all have a phone. You all have, you know, the possibility to have the whole world at your fingertips. How much time we spend looking at these things? And how much time do we feed on Him, the bread of life? This is what He gives us. He gave her bread. But then He also gave her vinegar. She had to dip that into vinegar. Now vinegar, it doesn't taste very well. I hope when we go and eat with that she doesn't serve us bread with vinegar, you know. Doesn't taste really much. Why is that? Why is that vinegar? You see, it is bitter. And it speaks of the cross of our Lord Jesus. We should be occupied with Him also. Not only with His life on earth and how He lived here, but also in His death. And this is related to vinegar. This is not a reason for joy, you know, but it is important. The more we really occupy, not only 1 hour per week when we come together to break bread, but we can do that anytime. We can do it in our families. We have a family worship. We can also talk about these things. But then he also gave her parched corn. You see, parched corn. This is corn which was in the fire, but is no longer in the fire. The Lord Jesus was in the fire. He has gone through the judgment of God, but He has risen again, and He has ascended to heaven. And this parched corn speaks of Him as the one who has completed the work which the Father has given Him, has risen, and He is the risen Christ. And therefore we should look up, like in Colossians 3, to seek the things which are above, where He is, that we are also occupied with Him. This is our food. This is what He gave. She ate and she left over. You know what the Lord Jesus is giving you and me, giving us, is always much more as we can even take in. We can never really reach the end of our study about the Lord Jesus. Now He is so wonderful. And then we find she continued to work, verse 17, and so she gleaned in the field until evening. Now comes a few things which she did. So she was picking it up. You know, if we want to study the Bible, read the Bible daily, it takes an effort. Yes, to glean. How many times she had to bend down and pick something up and then walk 2 steps and bend down again. It is hard work, you know, even to read the Bible. It doesn't come for nothing. But then the next thing is to beat it out. So we can hear the words. What are we doing with it? We go home, Somebody asked you on Wednesday, what did the brother speak about? And then you scratch your head, you don't even know what scripture he taught. Because you have not beaten the thing out like she did. That means you think about these things which you heard. Has he got something for me? Should I apply it to my life? Is there something in it? We should meditate upon these things and think about it. She did. She beat it out. And then she took up. What did she take up? You see the corn. When you beat it, then it falls apart. You have the straw and you have the grain on the other side. And sometimes, you know, we walk out of the meeting and we remember all the straw, all the mistakes she did. Although, you know, whatever, you know, his tie wasn't even straight. And all these things we have noticed, but the content we can't remember. We pick up the wrong thing. But she picked up the grain. And you know, she had about an ephah. And this is very interesting. Just go with me to Exodus 16. Exodus 16 is about the manna. And they were supposed to pick up an omer full of manna. And now, if the last verse in chapter 16, Exodus. Now the omer is the tenth part of an ephah. Why does he say that? Is it important? Why does he say that? And here we say, she picked up and had, at the end of the day, a whole ephah. 10 times as much as the normal quantity was for a day, an omer. What I think it means, simply, we can feed upon the Lord Jesus as much as you like. And at the end, you will have an omer full, but there is an ephah. You will never get to the end of our blessed Lord. It will need all eternity, and still then we will admire him. So then she took it up. She went into the city. You know, tomorrow we are back in the city. We are back at work. Take what we have received today into the city. Apply it to our day, everyday life. And she has eaten from it. This is very important. She has first eaten from it and then gave to her mother-in-law. You know, what we pass on, we should first make it our own. If we have understood it, we can pass it on and tell others about it. But you see, you can also read something and pass it on without making it your own. And this would not be very helpful. And then the last thing here, she had left over, as we said. And the mother-in-law was totally surprised. She didn't tell her where to go. But she realized, yeah, where did you glean? I mean, what you brought home is a miracle. She was totally surprised. She said, now where did you find all that much? It says, where hast thou gleaned today? And where oughtest thou? Blessed is he. And then she gave a very good answer. And I just hope to finish with this. Take this with you. She didn't say where. She didn't say on field ABC or whatever. No, she said, with whom she has wrought. And the man's name with whom she wrought today was born. She didn't say where, she did with whom. This is important that we take the message, whatever portion we read or is being preached, we take it not from man, but from the Lord. We've been here at the feet of our Lord Jesus. He would like to bless, but remember, there is no blessing without that Blessed One, who is the giver of all blessing. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Amen.